HR Broadcasting Fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Welcome to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories. Listen now as your host, Jolie Root, sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. And now, here's Jolie Root.
Good morning and welcome to Food for Thought. I am here and I have a packed hour for you, so let's jump right into it. There is a new study that just was published in the journal Nutrients. It was findings by Oregon State University researchers, and it was at the Oregon State's Linus Pauling Institute, and they looked at illness symptoms and how they're impacted by nutrients. And in particular, what they found was that multivitamin mineral supplement was linked to less severe and shorter lasting illness symptoms. So this is a call to action for you to make sure that you're on a good multivitamin. And you want it to contain some vitamin C and some zinc and some vitamin D. The research was designed to measure the multivitamins effects on certain immune system indicators. It also looked at bloodstream levels of zinc, vitamin C, and vitamin D. And these micronutrients, as you know, are important for proper immune function. The immune indicators, including the white blood cells' ability to kill incoming pathogens, were not altered in the group that was receiving the supplement. So the white blood cells, the phagocytic index, some of the white blood cells are called phagocytes, and they are big eaters, and that means that they gobble up. It looks like Pac-Man in the bloodstream. They gobble up bacteria and viruses, and you can measure the speed with which that happens, and that wasn't changed, but vitamin C and zinc status was improved after people took the multivitamins, and in those people, illness symptoms were less severe and went away faster than in people that didn't take the multivitamin. The same number of people reported symptoms, but the days of sickness in the supplement group was less than 3, and in the group that didn't get the supplement, more than 6. So the observed illness differences were striking. The study was limited to self-reported illness data, and all they're saying is we need bigger studies, and those studies are overdue. As we get older, the risk of deficiencies that contribute to age-related immune system deficiencies rises. Across the U.S., Canada, and Europe, more than a third of older adults are deficient in at least one micronutrient, and often it is more than one. In some cases, the most recent thorough analysis of vitamin status, looking at things like vitamin A and vitamin C and the B complex and zinc and others, was done in 2010. So it should be this year that we get another update to the its National Nutrition Health Survey that gets done every decade, sort of like the census. But then we look at the nutrient status. The most recent one, there were, in most cases, 60, 70, even in the high 80s% of people that didn't meet the daily value, the recommended daily intake of most of the major nutrients. So it's quite a bit more than one-third of older adults that are deficient in at least one. They're deficient in several, according to the most recent surveys. And that likely contributes to a decline in the immune system, which is characterized by increased levels of inflammation, reduced innate immune function, and reduced T-cell function. So the immune system, you have your innate immune response, which means built-in, basically, and then you have your acquired immune response, and that is T cells and other cells that get activated because of recognizing signatures of pathogens that your immune system has encountered in the past and that your body has built antibodies to recognize, and that is called acquired immunity. And that's the way that vaccines work. Acquired immunity means that something that you've been exposed to, you carry some level of resistance to that going forward. And so T-cells are part of that, and multiple nutrients support immune function. Older adults often benefit from multivitamin and mineral supplements, which are readily available, inexpensive, and generally regarded as safe. So the supplement that was used in the study focused on vitamins and minerals that are typically thought to help immunity. There was 700 micrograms of vitamin A, 400 international units of vitamin D. You know, I often say to you 10 times that much, right? 4,000 units a day. This one just had 400 international units, 45 milligrams of vitamin E, 6 milligrams of B6, so it's basically RDA levels. It did have 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, which is meaningful. It had copper, zinc, selenium. The supplementation was significantly effective for increasing circulating zinc and vitamin C, and illness symptoms that were less severe and shorter lasting. There have been earlier studies that have found that vitamin C, while it doesn't prevent things like the colds, makes the duration and the severity easier to deal with. Shorter length of time with the infection, and the symptoms are not quite as severe. So I just thought that that was interesting, and it's a call to make sure that you're covering your bases, particularly coming into this fall season. And for goodness sake, get a flu shot. They are saying that we're going to fare much better with the twin threats of the flu and the coronavirus if we get flu shots. So I think, you know, with the absence of a vaccine for coronavirus, a flu shot is still a very, very good idea. But now's the time to be thinking about building up your vitamin C levels, getting your vitamin D level up into the normal range, because it doesn't happen overnight with vitamin D. It takes about 12 weeks. So make sure that you're getting your vitamin D. I also, of course, as you know, recommend omega-3s. And omega-3s are associated with giving you the sort of just right response when it comes to inflammation. So you'll have enough inflammation to carry on normal immune response, but not excessive inflammation. That seems to be what we're seeing with the omega-3 part of immune function. Another study that came out showed that broccoli and Brussels sprouts, people's least favorite vegetables typically, are a cut above for blood vessel health. This was in the British Journal of Nutrition. Higher consumption of cruciferous vegetables, so that's broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, is associated with less extensive blood vessel disease. So they were looking at the likelihood of having extensive buildup of calcium in the aorta. That's a key marker for structural blood vessel disease. And the people that had these cruciferous vegetables in their diet had a lower chance of having that. Blood vessel disease is a condition that affects our blood vessels, the arteries and the veins. It reduces the flow of blood that circulates around the body. And that can be due to the buildup of fatty calcium deposits on the inner walls of our blood vessels, such as the aorta. This buildup of fatty calcium deposits is the leading cause of having a heart attack or stroke. So there's something intriguing about the cruciferous vegetables. They found that the calcification was reduced, and they kind of think that it may be related to the presence of vitamin K, one particular nutrient that is found abundantly in cruciferous vegetables is vitamin K, which is probably involved in inhibiting the calcification process that occurs in the blood vessels. Now, the women who consumed more than 45 grams of cruciferous vegetables every day. So it's not a lot. A fourth cup of steamed broccoli or half a cup of raw cabbage, so coleslaw, were 46% less likely to have extensive buildup of calcium on their aorta in comparison to those consuming little to no cruciferous vegetables every day. That is not to say that broccoli, cabbage, and Brussels sprouts are the only vegetables that we should be eating on a daily basis. We should be eating a wide variety of vegetables every day for overall good health and well-being. But since heart disease is our single leading cause of death, and poor diet is responsible for the largest proportion of the burden of heart disease, which it's about two-thirds of the burden of heart disease is directly attributable to poor diet, we need to pay attention to balancing our diet in such a way that nourishes the heart, feeds us the right nutrients to protect the blood vessels. This is Food for Thought. We're going out to a break. You're listening to me on 1490 WGCH and also WGCH.com anywhere.
It's hard to assure your kids are getting enough nutrients, especially those tricky omega-3s. Kids, in particular, need omega-3 oils in Carlson for Kids cod liver oil because they are crucial for brain and vision development, as well as cardiovascular health. Higher levels of omega-3 fats from fish support better learning. Carlson for Kids cod liver oil supplies 590 milligrams of omega-3 fatty acids in each serving. It has a delicious lemon flavor that kids love. It tastes great on its own or mixed in your child's favorite food or beverage. You can give your children Carlson for Kids cod liver oil with confidence because all Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Look for the purity guarantee right on the label. Be sure your children are getting the omega-3s they need with Carlson for Kids cod liver oil. Look for it at your favorite natural food store today. Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. Most American diets are low in cold water fish that are abundant in important omega-3 oils. DHA and EPA are the vital components of fish oil that provide healthy benefits. Not only are they crucial for brain and vision development, they're very important for cardiovascular health. Carlson, America's leading Norwegian fish oil brand, specializes in both great-tasting soft gels that are easy to swallow and fish oil liquids that don't taste fishy. That's right, Carlson provides the most extensive line of fish oils to meet all your needs. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for Carlson fish oils are tested for purity, potency, and freshness. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today. That's right. Ask for Carlson Norwegian fish oils today.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Here's your host, Jolie Root.
I'm back, and speaking of food and the heart, I thought that we would do a little bit of a dive into dietary fat and cholesterol, because cholesterol is certainly one of those things that most of us measure during a checkup and that we can follow up on and sort of gauge our thoughts about whether or not trouble might be brewing. And while cholesterol is not the only issue and inflammation may be a bigger issue, it still is important to understand what your lipids look like and, you know, where are the triglycerides. But let's talk about this because for decades, people have avoided fat and cholesterol-rich items like butter, nuts, egg yolks, and full-fat dairy, instead opting for low-fat substitutes like margarine, egg whites, and fat-free dairy in hopes of bettering their health and losing weight. This is due to the misconception that eating foods rich in cholesterol and fat may increase your risk of various diseases. While recent research has disproven this notion, myths surrounding dietary cholesterol and fat continue to dominate headlines, and many healthcare providers continue to recommend very low-fat diets to the general public. So let's explore some of this. One of the common myths about the diet is that eating fat leads to weight gain. Now, it's true that eating too much of any macronutrient, including fat, makes you gain weight. Consuming fat-rich foods, though, in part of a healthy, balanced diet, doesn't lead to weight gain. On the contrary, consuming fat-rich foods may help you lose weight and keep you more satisfied between meals. Numerous studies have shown that eating high-fat foods, including whole eggs, avocados, nuts, and full-fat dairy, may help boost weight loss and feelings of fullness. And dietary patterns that are very high in fat, including ketogenic and low-carb, high-fat diets, have been shown to promote weight loss. Of course, quality matters. So consuming highly processed foods that are rich in fats, such as fast food or sugary baked goods or fried foods, may increase your risk of weight gain. Another myth is that cholesterol-rich foods are unhealthy. Many people assume that cholesterol-rich foods, including whole eggs, shellfish, organ meats, and full-fat dairy, are unhealthy, but that's not the case. It's true that some cholesterol-rich foods, such as ice cream, fried foods, and processed meats, should be limited in a healthy diet pattern. Most people don't need to avoid nutritious high cholesterol foods. Eggs are an example. Egg yolks are high in cholesterol, but they also happen to be loaded with important vitamins and minerals, including B12 and choline and selenium. And high cholesterol, full-fat yogurt is packed with protein and calcium. Healthy cholesterol-rich foods like eggs, fatty seafood, and full-fat dairy improve many aspects of health. We'll get into that as we go forward. Another myth is that saturated fat causes heart disease. This is hotly debated among healthcare professionals. Recent research has shown no consistent link between saturated fat intake and heart disease. Now, saturated fat increases well-known heart disease risk factors like LDL, cholesterol, and apolipoprotein B, but saturated fat intake increases the amount of large, fluffy LDL particles and decreases the amount of smaller, denser LDL particles that are linked to heart disease. And certain types of saturated fat may increase heart protective HDL cholesterol, but numerous large studies have found no consistent association between saturated fat intake and heart disease, heart attack, or heart disease-related death. We need more studies because there are studies that disagree, but remember that there are many types of saturated fats with different effects on health. Your diet as a whole, rather than the breakdown of your macronutrient intake, is most important. There are nutritious foods that are high in saturated fat, like full-fat yogurt, unsweetened coconut, cheese, and dark cuts of poultry. They can certainly be included in a healthy, well-rounded diet. Another mistaken idea is that high-fat and cholesterol-rich foods should be avoided during pregnancy. Many women think that following a low-fat diet is best for their and their baby's health, but eating fat is essential during pregnancy. The need for fat-soluble nutrients like vitamin A and choline, as well as omega-3 fats, increases during pregnancy. And the fetal brain, which is predominantly composed of fat, needs dietary fat to develop properly. DHA, A type of fatty acid concentrated in fatty fish plays critical roles in fetal brain and vision development, and low maternal blood levels of DHA may lead to impaired neurodevelopment in the baby. Certain fat-rich foods are incredibly nutritious and provide nutrients vital to mom and baby's health that are hard to find in other foods. Egg yolks are particularly rich in choline, which is a vital nutrient for fetal brain and vision development. Full-fat dairy products provide an excellent source of calcium and vitamin K2, which are essential for skeletal development. So it is, you know, just something to think about. Don't eat a low-fat diet during pregnancy. Another myth is that eating fat increases diabetes risk. Many dietary patterns recommended for the treatment of type 2 and gestational diabetes are low in fat. That's due to the misconception that consuming dietary fat increases diabetes risk. Although consuming certain fat-rich foods like trans fats and fatty baked goods and fast food can indeed increase your risk of diabetes, research has shown that other high-fat foods may offer protection against the development of diabetes. For example, fatty fish, full-fat dairy, avocados, olive oil, and nuts are high-fat foods that have all been shown to improve blood sugar and insulin levels and potentially protect against the development of diabetes. While some evidence suggests that a greater intake of saturated fat may increase diabetes risk, more recent studies have found no significant association. A study in 2019 found no association between the consumption of animal and plant-based fat or total fat and the risk of type 2 diabetes. Another myth is that margarine and omega-6-rich vegetable oils are healthier than butter, for example. It's often thought that consuming vegetable oil-based products like margarine and canola oil in place of animal fats is better for health, but based on the results of more recent research, this is likely not the case. Margarine and certain vegetable oils, including canola and soybean oil, are very high in omega-6 fats. Although both omega-6 and omega-3 fats are needed for health, modern-day diets are much too high in omega-6 and much too low in omega-3s, and the imbalance between the omega-6 and the omega-3 fat intake has been linked to higher inflammation and the development of adverse health conditions. In fact, a higher omega-6 to omega-3 ratio has been associated with mood disorders, obesity, insulin resistance, increased heart disease risk factors, and mental decline. Canola oil is used in many vegetable oil blends, in butter substitutes, and low-fat dressings. And though it's marketed as a healthy oil, high intake of canola oil can and has been associated with increased inflammatory response and metabolic syndrome, which is a cluster of conditions that increases heart disease risk. So replacing saturated fat with omega-6 rich fats is also not likely to reduce heart disease and may even increase the risk of heart disease-related mortality. So another myth is that everyone responds to dietary cholesterol the same way. There are some genetic and metabolic factors that warrant following a diet lower in saturated fat and cholesterol, but for the majority of the population, saturated fat and cholesterol-rich foods can be included as part of a healthy diet. 2/3 of the population has minimal to no response to even large amounts of dietary cholesterol. They're known as compensators or low responders. But a small percentage of the population is considered a high responder or a non-compensator, and they're very sensitive to dietary cholesterol. And the way that you find out is tweak your diet. So even in hyper-responders, the high responders, the LDL to HDL ratio is maintained after cholesterol intake, meaning that the dietary cholesterol is unlikely to lead to changes in your blood lipid levels that increase the risk of heart disease progression. And that is due to adaptations that take place in the body, including enhancement of certain cholesterol removal pathways that excrete excess cholesterol and maintain healthy blood lipid levels. The exception to this is people who have familial hypercholesterolemia. That's a genetic disorder that increases heart disease risk. Those people usually have a reduced capacity to remove excess cholesterol from the body. Your family and your doctor can let you know if they think that that's the case for you. So you're listening to Food for Thought, and I'm Jolie Root. We are here on 1490 WGCH. We're going out for some messages from my sponsor. You can also listen on WGCH.com anywhere. I'll be right back.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
An air quality alert, 11 o'clock this morning till 11 o'clock tonight. Mostly sunny for today. Warm, dry weather with a high of 85. Mostly clear tonight, 65. And tomorrow, partly sunny, very warm and more humid, 85 to 90. On Sunday, partly sunny, hot and humid. Afternoon, thunderstorms, 90. Monday, mostly sunny, humid, 85. More sun, lower humidity on Tuesday, near 85. Save time, gas, and money. Take the Port Jeff Ferry to Long Island. Enjoy the relaxing trip across the Sound. Call the Port Jeff Ferry at 888-443-3779. I'm meteorologist Bill Jackwoman on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH.
Medical scientists worldwide are encouraging people to eat more fish. And most American diets are low in important omega-3 oils. Omega-3 oils are the vital components of fish that provide numerous health benefits. Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems supply concentrated amounts of these omega-3 oils that are needed to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. Each great-tasting Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gem Soft Gel contains 1,250 milligrams of fish oil from deep, cold-water fish. That supplies a full 800 milligrams of omega-3s, all in only one easy-to-swallow soft gel. You can take Carlson fish oils with confidence, for they are tested for purity, potency, and freshness by an independent FDA-registered laboratory. Ask for Carlson Elite Omega-3 Gems at your favorite natural food retailer today. Healthy vision. It's important to us. Carlson Right for the Macula supplies the nutrients to promote healthy vision. Carlson Right for the Macula provides substantial amounts of nutrients, lutein and DHA, which are key to a healthy macula. And a healthy macula is vital to our healthy vision. High dietary intakes of lutein and DHA may protect our macula from harmful processes that diminish our central vision. Recent research suggests that taken together, lutein and DHA may work synergistically to maintain the health of our macula. Ask for Carlson Right for the Macula at finer health food stores today. Or go to CarlsonLabs.com to find the location of the store nearest you.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Here's your host, Jolie Root.
I'm back, and we're going to talk now about regulating blood sugar, because this is another part of health that is a little out of control these days. There are a lot of people that are either diabetic or pre-diabetic, and those people are, it's thin ice. You're sort of treading on thin ice in that situation because metabolically you're out of balance. That's not healthy. it's in particular not healthy for the health of the blood vessels, which then leads to it not being healthy for the health of the heart. And when there's blood vessel disease, then all the other organs and your ability to heal and your ability to maintain any kind of good, robust immune response, they're all impaired. So we want to be able to regulate blood sugar levels, and there are a lot of foods that are really good at that. Now, there are other factors that play a role: body weight, activity, stress, genetics. But following a healthy diet is critical for blood sugar control. So broccoli and Brussels sprouts and broccoli sprouts, what those foods, we talked about them earlier, what they have in common, not just the vitamin K, sulforaphane. Sulforaphane is a compound, it's in a family of something called isothiocyanates. Say that three times fast. It has blood sugar reducing properties. The plant chemical, sulforaphane, is produced when broccoli is chopped or chewed due to a reaction in a compound called glucuronolactone and the enzyme myrosinase. Good grief. Both of those things, though, are concentrated in broccoli. So sulforaphane-rich broccoli extract has powerful anti-diabetic effects, helping to enhance insulin sensitivity and reduce blood sugar and markers of oxidative stress, because sulforaphane and isothiocyanates are antioxidants. Broccoli sprouts are concentrated sources of those compounds, and they've been shown to help promote insulin sensitivity and reduce blood sugar levels in people with type 2 diabetes. Eating cruciferous vegetables has been linked to a lower risk of type 2 diabetes. Best way to enhance the availability of the sulforaphane is to enjoy broccoli and broccoli sprouts raw or lightly steamed, and add active sources of the myrosinase, and a thing that activates that and is a source of that is mustard seed powder, so a high-quality mustard, to cooked broccoli. Another food that can be very important for stabilizing blood sugar levels is seafood. Seafood, including fish and shellfish, offers a valuable source of protein, healthy fats, vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants that help to regulate blood sugar levels. Protein is essential for blood sugar control. It helps to slow digestion, and it prevents post-meal blood sugar spikes, as well as increases feelings of fullness. Protein helps to prevent overeating, and promote protein promotes excess body fat loss. If you've got extra fat, more protein in your diet can help to promote the loss of that, and that's two effects that are essential for healthy blood sugar levels. And a high intake of fatty fish like salmon and sardines or mackerel or tuna has been shown to help improve blood sugar regulation. So one group of overweight or obese adults that consumed 26 ounces of fatty fish per week had significant improvements in post-meal blood sugar levels compared with people that consumed lean fish. Another group of foods is pumpkin and pumpkin seeds, brightly colored, packed with fiber and antioxidants. Pumpkin is a great source for blood sugar regulation. It's used as a traditional diabetic remedy in many countries like Mexico and Iran. Pumpkin is high in carbs that are called polysaccharides. They've been studied for their blood sugar regulating potential. Treatments with pumpkin extracts and powders have significantly decreased blood sugar levels in human studies. We need more research on whole pumpkin, such as when it's roasted or steamed, and how that might benefit blood sugar. Pumpkin seeds are packed with healthy fats and proteins, making them an excellent choice for blood sugar control as well. Pumpkin seeds are also a really excellent source of another nutrient that is associated with healthy blood sugar levels, and that nutrient is magnesium. An ounce of pumpkin seeds, it's a handful, it's a great snack, has 150 milligrams of magnesium. That's basically a third of your daily value. So pumpkin seeds are very healthy. Now, we're talking about raw, not roasted and salted. 2 ounces of pumpkin seeds reduced post-meal blood sugar by 35%. So eating nuts is an effective way to help regulate blood sugar levels, nuts and seeds. People with type 2 diabetes consuming peanuts and almonds throughout the day as part of a low-carb diet reduced both fasting and post-meal blood sugar levels. Diets emphasizing tree nuts, so that's not peanuts, at an average daily intake of 2 ounces, significantly reduced fasting blood sugar and hemoglobin A1C, which is a marker, as you know, of long-term blood sugar control compared with people that didn't eat the tree nuts. So that's things like pecans and walnuts, almonds, okra, which is growing in my garden as we speak. It's the season. It loves the hottest months, and so I'm able to harvest enough for us to have a serving pretty much on a daily basis right now. In fact, I'm going to simmer some in some fresh tomato sauce that I made from tomatoes that are also plentiful right now in my garden. Okra is a fruit. It's commonly utilized like a vegetable. It's a rich source of blood sugar lowering compounds like polysaccharides and flavonoid antioxidants. In Turkey, okra seeds have long been used as a natural remedy to treat diabetes because of their potent blood sugar-lowering properties. Here's the compound, rhamnogalacturanin. That's the main polysaccharide in okra. It's been identified as a powerful anti-diabetic compound. Okra contains several other flavonoids. Not going to bore you with the pronunciations, but there's quercetin and other forms of quercetin that help to reduce blood sugar by inhibiting some enzymes. And we need more human studies on okra, but okra is full of dietary fiber, and when you eat okra, it's full of the okra seeds that have those compounds that I mentioned, but it's also got and some people don't like it because of this, but it's kind of a slippery thing, right? There's a mucilaginous quality to okra, and people go, oh, yeah, that's what I hate about it. If you've never tried it, you can get pickled okra in the pickle section at your grocery store, and it's pretty yummy. It's really pretty yummy, but okra is associated with much better gut and GI health because it's got so much soluble fiber, so that's also going to be beneficial for cholesterol levels too. But okra, really, really healthy for blood sugar stability. So are flax seeds. Now you have to grind them up, but you can stir them into yogurt. There was a study that had people consume 200 grams, 7 ounces of low-fat yogurt that had an ounce, 30 grams of flax seeds. They had significant reductions in hemoglobin A1C. So flax seeds can be really beneficial stirred into your oatmeal or baked into your bread, stirred into a smoothie. Another category of foods that is really, really beneficial for stabilizing blood sugar levels is beans and lentils. First of all, they're nutrient-dense foods. They're full of magnesium. They're full of fiber. They're full of protein. All of these things help to lower blood sugar levels. Beans and lentils are particularly high in soluble fiber and resistant starch. And those things slow digestion and help to improve blood sugar response after meals. And so adding black beans or chickpeas to a rice meal significantly reduced post-meal blood sugar levels compared with eating rice alone, particularly if it's white rice. Eating white rice is like eating sugar. It's a very high glycemic index food. That's the scale where we measure the blood sugar response to foods. Many other studies have shown that eating beans and lentils benefit blood sugar regulation and also help to protect against the development of diabetes. Some fermented foods are also very beneficial for stabilizing blood sugar levels. Kimchi and sauerkraut are packed with health-promoting compounds, including probiotics, minerals, antioxidants, and they're associated with improved blood sugar levels and insulin sensitivity. We're going to go out to another break. You're listening to Food for Thought, and we're talking about healthy foods today. That's kind of the overarching theme. After messages from my sponsor, I will be right back, but you're on 1490 WGCH, and you can listen on WGCH.com anywhere.
Concerned about diabetes? Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes is a unique formula containing nutrients that support the health of individuals with diabetes or pre-diabetes. Two easy-to-swallow soft gels supply over 25 nutrients, including important omega-3s from fish oil. Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes supports a healthy heart, brain, and nerves, healthy vision, and healthy circulation. Ask for Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes at finer health food stores today. Or go to CarlsonLabs.com to find the location of the store nearest you. Carlson NutriSupport Diabetes. Ask for it today.
No doubt you've heard a lot about the health benefits of vitamin D. Now you can get your vitamin D in a base of the healthiest omega-3s. Carlson Solar D Gems provides both. Carlson Solar D Gems provides 2,000 to 4,000 IU of all-natural vitamin D3, a vitamin that many people do not get enough of from the sun alone. In fact, many health experts are now claiming that most Americans are lacking in this important nutrient. Vitamin D3 plays an important role in bone, cardiovascular, and immune health. Plus, Carlson Solar D Gems also contains the important omega-3 oils that your body needs to support vision, brain function, and a healthy heart. The omega-3s support the absorption of the vitamin D. You get the benefits of both. Carlson Solar D Gems, vitamin D in a base of omega-3s. Look for Carlson Solar D Gems at your favorite natural food store today.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. Here's your host, Jolie Root.
So one of the reasons that we want to pay attention to blood sugar levels, the obvious thing is that when your blood sugar is out of whack, then you're at risk for diabetes. But the diabetes is usually not the thing that becomes the biggest issue. It is the complications of diabetes that are such a concern, and the number one thing is heart disease. So what's interesting is to look at incredibly heart-healthy foods also. And by the way, the foods that stabilize blood sugar levels are also heart-healthy foods. Anything that doesn't spike your blood sugar level is also primarily pretty good for the health of your heart. And vice versa, the very heart-healthy foods are also probably foods that are much less likely to spike big increases in blood sugar. So it all comes together, and what you're doing is building a healthy diet. And if you are able to follow a healthy diet and get into a situation where you're not dealing with a lot of these complications, you're going to fare better over this next, especially over this next 12-month period while we struggle with this pandemic. So let's look at heart-healthy foods. Leafy green vegetables, spinach and kale and collard greens, they're just loaded with vitamins and minerals and antioxidants. They're a great source of vitamin K. I mentioned that earlier with the connection of the broccoli and the Brussels sprouts, and the vitamin K helps to, what vitamin K does to protect the health of the blood vessels, which I talked about briefly earlier, is that vitamin K makes calcium behave itself. It makes calcium go where the calcium needs to be. It works together. Vitamin K works together with vitamin D to do this so that the calcium goes into the bones and into the bone matrix rather than depositing in the soft tissues in the body, which is the blood vessels and other places. But we were talking earlier with the broccoli and the Brussels sprouts about calcium deposits in the aorta. And the aorta is just a great big blood vessel, but the calcium deposits can happen everywhere. And the other thing that vitamin K does is it promotes healthy blood clotting so that you're not as likely to have adverse bleeding events if you're on medications that thin your blood, or if you have an ulcer, or you are in an accident, or you, you know, have a fall or something where you get cut or scraped or something. These leafy green vegetables, though, are also high in dietary nitrates, which reduce blood pressure, decrease arterial stiffness, as does vitamin K and vitamin D, and improve the function of cells lining the blood vessels. Some studies have also found a link between increasing your intake of leafy green vegetables and a lower risk of heart disease. One analysis of 8 studies found that increasing the leafy greens was associated with a 16% lower incidence of heart disease. Whole grains is in this group of foods that are incredibly heart healthy. They include, whole grains include all three nutrient-rich parts of the grain, the germ, the endosperm, and the bran. So common types of whole grains include whole wheat, brown rice, oats, rye, barley, buckwheat, and quinoa. Compared to refined grains, whole grains are higher in fiber, which reduces LDL cholesterol to decrease the risk of heart disease. Multiple studies have found that including more whole grains in your diet can benefit your heart health. There was a global study that I reported earlier, well, actually late last year and earlier this year, that just talked about the impact of the foods that we don't eat enough of on death and disease globally. And the biggest category where we absolutely fail the mark, where we absolutely fail to achieve any kind of acceptable intake, is whole grains. We eat refined grain products. We eat white bread. We eat white pasta. And we need the whole grains. Cook the grains themselves. When you're purchasing whole grains, make sure you read the ingredient label carefully. Phrases like whole grain and whole wheat indicate a whole grain product. Words like wheat flour or multigrain may not. But whole grains is associated with lower cholesterol, lower blood pressure, and a lower risk of heart disease. Another category, and one of my all-time favorites, berries. Super heart healthy foods. Strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries are loaded with nutrients that play a central role in heart health. They're rich in antioxidants like the anthocyanins that protect against the oxidative stress and the inflammation that contribute to the development of heart disease. Studies show that eating lots of berries can reduce several risk factors for heart disease. One study in 27 adults with metabolic syndrome showed that drinking a beverage made of freeze-dried strawberries for 8 weeks decreased LDL cholesterol by 11%. Another study found that eating blueberries every day improved the function of the cells that line the blood vessels, which help to control blood pressure and blood clotting. And an analysis of 22 studies showed that eating berries was associated with reductions in LDL, reductions in systolic blood pressure, weight loss, and markers of inflammation, less inflammation. Berries are a satisfying snack. They're a delicious low-calorie dessert. add some different types to your diet. Berries are great in salad. So if you can't see yourself just eating a bowl of berries, although I scratch my head, why not? They're delicious. But if you can't see yourself doing that, you can absolutely put them in a smoothie or you can put them on a salad. Avocados are an excellent source of heart-healthy monounsaturated fats. That is associated with lower levels of cholesterol, lower risk of heart disease. They looked at three cholesterol-lowering diets in overweight and obese people. One of the test groups had one avocado per day. They had reductions in LDL cholesterol, and they had reductions in the small, dense LDL, which is believed to significantly raise the risk of heart disease. Another study showed that those that ate avocados regularly were half as likely to have metabolic syndrome. One avocado supplies 975 milligrams of potassium, which is about a third of the amount that you need in a day. Getting enough potassium, which is about 4.7 grams, decreases blood pressure and is associated with a 15% lower risk of stroke. So avocados are a potassium-rich food. Now, you can't have a conversation about heart-healthy foods without talking about fatty fish and fish oil. And so salmon, mackerel, sardines, tuna, it's because of the omega-3s. Eating salmon three times a week for 8 weeks significantly decreased blood pressure. Eating fish over the long term is linked to lower levels of total cholesterol, blood triglyceride levels, fasting blood sugar, and systolic blood pressure. Every 3.5 ounce decrease in weekly fish consumption is associated with a 20% higher likelihood of having one additional risk factor for heart disease, like high blood pressure, diabetes, or obesity. If you don't eat much seafood, though, fish oil is another option for getting your daily dose of omega-3 fatty acids. Fish oil supplements reduce triglyceride levels, improve arterial function, and decrease blood pressure. If you're going to do fish oils, I hope you're going to look to Carlson for that. There's just not a better one on the market. Carlson has some very handy single-serving packets now of the very finest fish oil, the cod liver oil, and even a combination of MCT and omega-3. And you can literally just open the packet, pour it on your salad at lunchtime. You're done for the day. You've got your omega-3. Even if you hate salmon and you never eat mackerel or sardines, you can still have fish oil intake and omega-3 levels that are the envy of your entire neighborhood. I hear the music, so that means I'm out of time. We're going to say goodbye for another week, but I thank you for listening. I hope that you stay happy and healthy and eat some of these healthy foods that I talked about today, and I'll be back again next week. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Food for Thought, sponsored by Carlson Laboratories, with your host, Jolie Root. Tune in again next time as Jolie sifts through medical research and expert opinions for practical advice to help you take control of your health naturally and live well every day. Food for Thought.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
The Joy Testimony, Biden's Pledge. I'm Mike Moss. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy tells the Senate committee today he believes the post office is well equipped to handle election-related mail-in voting this fall.
I think the American public should be able to vote by mail, and the Postal Service will support it. So I guess that's yes.
Delivery slowdowns caused by DeJoy's initiatives have been frozen, he said. He was questioned then by Michigan Democrat Gary Peters.
Will you be bringing back any mail sorting machines that have been removed since you've become Postmaster General? Will any of those come back?